It's that time on a Thursday. We usually play the theme song for the guy he was dressed up for his Halloween, but this day, I think this is a more appropriate intro.
The longest such drought in the American League, and the Cubs, well, you know, it's been 108 years since their last title. Two down. A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress. AF, how you doing today?
I don't know what to do with myself anymore.
Yeah, what happens when a dream like that, that in essence is kind of a fairy tale, comes true? What do you look forward to? I mean, the Bulls won six, you got the 85 Bears, now the Cubbies, you're done, right?
I guess I got to turn my angst to the Bears.
but not only did you get to witness the Bears, it was a legendary Bears team. So you kind of got that in your hip pocket.
But it's been 30 years, so maybe I can start to gripe about that a little bit, right? Is there like after 25 years, you can start to really whine?
I think a quarter century, especially when you have to deal with Cutler face on a daily basis.
Exactly. No, I'm ecstatic. When it was 5-1, I felt like the sports person side of me felt pretty good. 5-1 should be good. With, I knew Lester was, you know, there, and Ed Chapman and the other guys. But the Cubs fan in me was like, dude, it's not going to be this easy. There's no way it's going to be this easy.
It can't be.
There's just no way it's going to be this easy. And then Lester comes in, and they give up 2 runs without the ball even leaving the infield. And I'm like, see, I knew it. But then Ross gets a home run. I'm like, okay, 6-3, we're good. And then all hell broke loose. Like, oh my God. And they're actually, when it was 6-6 and Chapman came out for the ninth, I think I tweeted sometime in there, I feel like I'm waiting for the inevitable. All the emotion was sapped out of me. I sat there, my 10-year-old son who got into it, he was wearing one of my Cubs jerseys, like a balloon, basically. He was so much bigger than him. He was like frozen. We both were just frozen on the couch, just watching, just looking stunned. And he was just like, I can't believe that just happened. And then at the top of the 10th, when we got to the 9th, the top of the 10th, I was like, okay, we have to get back into this. Come on, let's go. They can do it. Get pumped up. And then little did I know, they were having their own meeting in the clubhouse because of the rain delay to pump themselves back up too. And then they pulled it out. But when Zobrist hit that ball down the line, man, I was just, we were jumping down like little kids. It was awesome.
Now, in that 8th inning, when Lester was pitching, he got the grounder, the strikeout, then there's an infield hit. And out comes Madden. Are you thinking, leave him in, or are you thinking, it's time for Chapman?
Well, I didn't know what he was doing. And I love Joe Madden, and I'm not going to rip him necessarily because he has to go with his gut, and that's what you do in baseball. But I didn't understand why he took Hendricks out when Hendricks gave up the bogus walk.
I agree.
You're up 5-1, and it's one guy on with two outs. Why are you freaking out right there? He's dealing. He's playing well.
I thought so, too.
You know, if a guy came up and ripped the shot next, okay, maybe. You say, okay, well, maybe he's worn out. He's welcome. But I just thought right there, don't go to Lester right now. If you go to Lester in the 5th, that makes it more likely you're going to go to Chapman too early. And I figured Chapman was good for one really strong lockdown inning, but not more than that after all he'd pitched. And I thought we could see Lackey, too. We did see Montgomery. I don't know. I was a little concerned when he went to the Hendricks thing, and then when he goes to getting Lester out after one base run, I'm just like, dude, you're just way overmanaging this. You're panicking. Like, just
that
let
was it. I agree. Lester, the micromanaging, overthinking almost killed him.
And it's not like you had like a 1-run lead. You're like, wait, there's no margin for error. You had room for error. Like you had wiggle room, you know, to weather a run. Like, if Hendricks give up a run, it's still 5-2, two out. Now go to Lester or somebody. But, so, yeah, I was a little worried about that a couple of times, but somehow they pulled it out, dude.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, because I went on Twitter when the first hitter was in there, Guyer, against Chapman. And I noticed something. That's the balls, they're laying off. The strikes, they're fouling off. And did you notice that right off the bat, Chapman wasn't causing any swings and misses?
Right. Did you see what I tweeted?
What was that?
Right before Davis's home run, I tweeted, "This isn't good. He's falling off too many pitches.
That's what I was saying. It was
this
like
this isn't good.
No,
he's getting. I tweeted that, and then like three pitches later, boom, gone. Like he's getting too much of a read on him, and staying in there too long. And I started talking baseball with my kid. No matter how good a pitcher is, the more times you see his stuff. The more, these are professional hitters. The more they get in tune with it, the more they get locked in, the more comfortable they feel. And then if you just give them one that they can handle, it's going to get ripped. And sure enough, boom, I was like, that did not just happen.
Hey, do you have a family member, longtime friend who, was there in 69 and through Leon Durham? And I know you're a big diehard Cubs fan, but do you have that family member or two who just last night?
I have a couple uncles who texted me last night
awesome.
About it. And I called one of them in L.A. And we talked about it. And they lived most of their life in Chicago. Well, I said the first half of their lives in Chicago. They remember all those days. And one of my uncles was talking about how, my grandma who passed away at 94, she would be like 98 right now. She wasn't a big sports fan, but she always every summer asked, how are the Cubs doing? Are they ever going to win it? Oh, well. She was like that type of person. So she would find it fascinating that they won. But, yeah, I would honestly have to say that the greatest fan sporting experience of my life. Now, it's funny because baseball is my third favorite sport of the big three that I like. I'm not a big hockey guy.
Right.
But just the longevity of it, and I really got into them in the early 80s when they lost to San Diego in that NLCS in 84. That's when I really started kind of following baseball. And so that's 30-plus years of following this team and going through all the bad teams and then the good teams that would choke and et cetera, et cetera. So whereas the Bears, I was a Walter Payton fan at 8. They won a Super Bowl, 8 years later. I pretty much basketball wasn't really national. I remember basketball was barely ever on, so I didn't really know much about the Bulls until the Magic Bird Jordan era. So when I jumped on the Bulls more, when Jordan was a rookie and they were on TV more, I waited 7 years. This one, I waited 30-plus years and went through some disastrous things like the Bartman game and other things. And so that was – and then how intense it was and just – yeah, that was awesome. That was fun as a fan. I don't know if I can endure another 30 years of that, though.
We were saying, I don't know how much you've heard this, but the best part about it was I really didn't have a rooting interest. I basically sat down with my daughter-in-law's son and wife and was just like, we have to watch this. And could you imagine just watching for the entertainment value? I mean, it's like the best neutral game I think I've ever watched in any sport ever. It's just
it was transcendent theater.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I know people, Kansas City Royals fans, like Isaac Ropp, who works with him in Portland. He's a big Royals fan. They won it last year for the first time in, 85, right?
Exactly.
But that series, what did that series go? I forget.
Yeah, 5 games. They kicked the Mets'
ass.
5 games.
So it didn't have that transcendent theater drama to it, whereas this, because of the way it went, and because you had two teams chasing. Last year, it was the Cardinals last year, right?
No, Mets and Royals.
Oh, that's right. Mets had some history. But you had two teams digging back to the 40s and before the Titanic with the Cubs, which I love. I love stating that line. The first time since the freaking Titanic was built, that just transcended everything and made it even more enjoyable.
I may give you one more because we discovered this last year. Somebody tweeted out that the last time the Cubs won, there was an Ottoman Empire.
Wow.
That's great. All right, so I'm sitting down to watch you guys talking Ducks this morning. And first of all, you're dressed as Michael Jackson in the 80s. Newman's gone pirate on us. Kent goes Clark Kent, but Superman. But I went to the end. They both picked USC to win this game, huh?
No, either one of them did.
I thought they picked Oregon to pull the upset. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, dude, Newman was sitting right there basically. He was close. I was like, come on, Anthony, you can do it. You can do it. He goes, the USC's got this and that, and Dexter this and that. But I'm calling it upset. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. There's a 17-point dog on the road. You can't even pick this one. He refuses. He will not do it.
It's amazing. It's like Pavlov's ringing the bell in the background. It's like he ain't picking against his Ducks. It ain't gonna happen.
He will never pick against Oregon. If all the games, like Washington, I would even just, I thought that was silly, but at least, you know, they were at home. And no one saw that coming. 8-point spread. Okay, fine. I can give them that one. But this one, come on, dude. There's no logical reason to believe Oregon's going to win this game.
I see none. I mean, they were talking about the defense, and I heard words like improve or better. And I hate to be a downer, but you can make a case right now. Arizona State might be the worst offense, certainly in the South, if not in the whole conference. And the win is great, but man, the defense is got, I think this week they're going right back into a really dangerous situation.
We didn't talk last week, but I wrote last week that, you know, I picked Oregon to win because ASU's offense was weak. Their stats look decent, but if you take away their non-conference stats, they were pretty marginal. Plus, they were playing a third-string running quarterback who's a freshman. So, like, you can't beat that team. And their defense was pretty mediocre other than the non-conference stuff. So, I'm thinking, if you can't beat this team, you're just never going to win again. And so, I thought they were going to win. I think I picked them by 2 touchdowns. I can't remember.
You did.
Yeah, something like that. I expected that. But I didn't come away from that thinking I saw vast improvement. Now, I give Helfrich 100% credit for this because he was asked about it, and he kind of gave a – We were better, and then sort of a chuckle, like a kind of like, yeah, we were better, but, and then went on to say, you know, they made a fewer errors than the previous week, not a whole bunch fewer, and he said flat out they got lucky a couple times when some guys were wide open and the quarterback couldn't hit them. You know, even when I was in my Michael Jackson character, I made the point that, you know, like, you know, they got lucky a couple times. So I just... You have to be realistic. And USC has a quarterback right now that looks strong, just as good as Herbert. He's lighting it up just like him. Their running game is already really good.
Devastating.
And defensively, they've been cranking on people. That's the thing. It's like defensively, they put it on Colorado. They put it on Cal. As good as Herbert's been, the freshman offensive line, et cetera, and Tony Brooks-James, they're not putting up 47 in this game. They might get 37, but then are they able to hold – USC to under 40? I just can't buy it.
No, and like I think one of you, I think it was you that mentioned, yeah, better, because the last three games they were giving up like an average of 56 points and 630 yards. It wasn't really the bar for better was pretty low.
Exactly.
All right, finally, you guys made some important points about the running game. We're not going to take anything away from Tony Brooks-James. I mean, you've been out there saying he's the guy next year, but Royce Freeman isn't himself, but I'm going to concur with you on this. I think the conversation turned to, because he's having an off season, does that mean he'll come back? And I don't see the logic there either.
Yeah, it's hard to know what scouts would say, and I might start calling something in the next couple of weeks, but that I know. But, you know, he is who he is. Like, everyone knows what he's capable of. He's a big back with solid, not great speed. He can bring some power, and then he has a little bit of breakaway, not breakaway, but a little bit of speed to get, you know, get some nice yards afterwards. So he's going to be a nice back in the NFL. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. He's not going to be a perennial Pro Bowl. But he'll be a good running back at the next level. And I don't think anything that's happened this year erases what he did the previous 2 years or what he even did in the good games he had this year. And I don't think coming back next year is going to tell scouts anything more than they need to know other than he just wasted a year making some money.
Right.
And for me, especially for running backs, above every other position, because you take so many hits if you're a featured back. You're just getting, not just when you're carrying the ball, when you're pass blocking. I mean, you're absorbing so much punishment that you got to start getting paid as soon as you can, because you only have so many bullets in your body to put out there. And so I don't see how he could, even if he came back next year and rushed for 1,800 yards and contended for the Heisman. I mean, that adds a little shine on him, and maybe you would bump him up around from whenever he goes this next year. I get that. But the odds of that happening versus the odds of him getting injured again, I mean, that's the thing. There's no guarantee you come back next year you're not going to get hurt again, and then what? You know, now you got hurt for free again.
Right. So no, I'm in accord with you there.
Yeah, I can't see how he returns. I'd be shocked.
All right. The website, csnnw.com. The Twitter feed is at Aaron J. Fentress. You, sir, enjoy, revel in it, travel safe to Troy, and catch up with you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
Take it easy. All right. Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net.